Bible. Hans got saved in this play because he read the Bible. And not only that, somebody gave him the greatest gift. I'm going to talk to you for just a couple minutes about the greatest gift, that Bible. What a blessing it was.
Amen.
Amen. You see, in this play, Hans was realized that he was trusting in his own righteousness. Well, let's be honest. We all get there sometimes.
Yeah.
We think because we have a good job that you must be a good person. Let's be honest. You know, you think because, you know, you've made it, you've worked hard, you've worked your way up the ladder, you've arrived somewhere in life that you're a good person. Well, in man's eyes, you are a pretty good person. But how does God view you? Better yet, what does that Bible say about your condition? That's what this whole play was about. Hans was a business guy, right? Doing his shoes, doing his thing. He's successful. Everybody's coming to him for help. But you know what Hans realized one night? That he needed Jesus Christ. That's the greatest gift. That's the Christmas gift right there. It's Jesus Christ. Amen. He trusted in the God of his imagination, Hans did. You know, and many of you out here do the same thing. I talk to people all the time out on the street, and when I witness to them, and they tell me their version of God.
Yeah.
You know what people do? They make a God up in their own minds that suits them.
Yep.
You know what that Bible calls that? Idolatry.
That's right. Yeah.
It's an idolatrous thing. You see, you're making a God that makes you feel happy. He's not going to judge you because he's your God in your mind. But the thing is, that's not what the Bible says.
Yeah, right.
Amen. We're going to look at some verses in the Bible in a few moments. Because I want you tonight, I want you to put yourself in Hans's position. I want you to take a look inside of your heart just for a few moments. I'm not ambushing you. I care about you.
Amen.
I want you to put yourself in Hans's position. I want you to think about it. You know, the Bible shows you your condition. It's like a mirror, they say, right? When you read that book, it shows you your heart. Whether you're saved or lost, that book corrects you. I thank God for that book. If I don't get corrected by that book, my life would be a wreck. Amen. That's right. Now listen. Hans read that Bible, but he read it with a sincere heart. You know, the Bible says, God says that if you seek him, what? In spirit and in truth. You got to come to God. Matter of fact, you know what you should do this Christmas? You should come to God with a sincere heart.
Amen.
If you're not sure that you're a child of God, if you're not sure if you've ever been saved before, I want to invite you tonight to think about it.
Amen.
Think about your condition.
Amen.
Because, you know, every day, every second, 1.9 people, two people die about every second.
That's right.
Do you realize that? Yeah. Step off into eternity. Somebody else turns the car key the next time for them because they can't. Somebody else comforts their wife or their husband because they step off into eternity forever.
Amen.
There's going to be people in this church right now that I'm looking at 2 years from now might not be here.
That's right.
Amen.
So if I was going to pose a quick question right now and stop, if lightning struck me dead right now, I'd ask one question. Where will you go
Amen.
When you die?
Amen.
Fill in the blank. You say, who does he think he is? Nobody. I'm a sinner saved by grace.
Amen.
That's my hope and prayer for you tonight. Is I want you to take a look at your life like Hans did. Where will you go when you die? You know, Christmas is a depressing time, they say. I don't get that. I'm happy. When I lay on the pillow at night, I'm happy.
Amen.
Especially every other Friday when I get my paycheck, I'm real happy. My boss is right there. I'm teasing on him. Right? But life is good. But what if you step off in eternity? What happens then? So what changed his mind? Sincere heart has revealed his lost condition, number one. He's lost. Hans realized as he read the crucifixion story, he realized that he was lost. You know what Hans did for the first time in his life? He took his eyes off himself and he looked to the cross.
Amen.
And you know what happens when a man does that?
Amen.
He takes a sincere look at his condition as a lost person. When you look at that cross, Jesus said, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself, he said.
Yeah, that's right.
Jesus Christ is obligated to reveal himself to you, and then the ball's in your court.
Right.
Yep.
What are you going to do with it?
Yep.
I hope you get saved.
Amen.
Yeah. I'm going to read some scriptures here tonight. I'm not going to take a real long time, but I want to drive a point home tonight. I want to take a look at the scripture.
Amen,
eternal life. About the gift. Hans received God's gift. You know, the Bible has a lot to say about gifts. About 100 times the word gifts shows up in the Bible. How many of you knew that in here?
Yep.
Amen. A few, oh, you knew that? Praise the Lord. Amen, right? About 100 times. Amen. Turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 5, if you have one. If not, just listen along. Romans chapter 5, and I'm talking about a gift tonight. First thing I want to say about that gift is it's free.
Amen.
Amen for that. Thank God I don't have to do anything to get God's free gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. If I had to do something myself, I would be damned. There ain't no way I could please God outside of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Think about that. When I talk to people on the street all the time, I ask them about salvation and try to deal with them, and they give me some kind of wild story, and I just kind of step back and I look at them and I say, what makes you think for one second that you're better than Jesus Christ? Because the explanation of you getting to heaven involved Jesus Christ, not at all.
Yeah.
How about that? Mm-hmm. People are funny, ain't they?
Yep.
They're real funny. Amen. It's true. Everybody has their own visions of heaven. Everybody's got their own thoughts. Me and Jesus are going to be all right. How many times you heard that stuff? I have many times. Many of you in here right now have your own version of the judgment when it comes for you to meet God. And many of you in here think that you're going to be all right. But you know what? You're not. It's like this. And if you have cancer in here, you're going to have to excuse me. The story has nothing to do with you personally. But it's as if you're healthy and you go to the doctor and you're feeling fine, right? And you stand before the doctor. He does his exam on you and he says, Mr. Jones, I'm sorry, you have terminal 4 cancer. You're going to die. Salvation's kind of like that. When the ice gets broken there and you realize that you're a sinner, you know what that guy with cancer does? Whatever the doctor says.
Yeah. Right.
What, he'll take any poison, he'll take any burn treatment, he'll put any cream in his mouth, eye, leg, oh, it doesn't matter. He'll do cartwheels on his head if a guy thinks that'll save him. You know that?
Yeah.
You know what Jesus is called? The great physician. Amen. And you know what, by the way, you don't have to do anything to get saved.
That's right.
You know that? It's completely free.
Amen.
He doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your car. He doesn't want your family. You know what he wants? Your heart.
Amen.
It's your heart. Just like Hans was up here a couple minutes ago, and he poured out his heart to God. He said, I know I'm a sinner. I deserve what happened to you on that cross. Until you get to that point in your life, I have to inform you, you're probably lost.
That's right.
If you've never received Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you're lost and you're on the way to hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't get any glory in saying that. I wish I could be like a little mouse and run and get out of here right now. Because I'm going to say a couple more things that's really going to get to you because it gets to me. But you know what it does? You got to get your eyes off of you and you got to look to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know what this Bible does? It makes you feel bad. If you feel good about yourself after reading this Bible through about 5 times, there's something wrong with your eyes, your mind, or your heart. Because you ain't getting it. Because the Bible paints a picture about mankind that is negative. It's no good. Your best works, I can't even tell you because I blush to say what the Bible says your best works are like. I'll tell you what. It's no good. The Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. That includes you, your grandmom, your pope. That includes your religion. That includes everybody. Nobody's good. Nobody's right. Not one. Why? Because there is one, and that book is trying to get the point to him. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Do you know him tonight? Do you know him? You say, yeah, sure I know him. You know what people say? They call it the fatherhood of God, the brotherhood of man. That's a big old term, and all that simply means is everybody says this. I wish I had a dollar every time I heard this. I'd be rich. They say, well, we're all God's children.
Yeah.
We're all going to the same place, just kind of like different ways. It's like going on the freeway, and I'm going to get off of this exit, but I'll make it there. We're all kind of making it our own way, right? How many of you believe that in here, right? Nobody raised their hand. Some of you probably do, right? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, Verse 5, there's one Lord, one baptism, one faith. There's only one way.
Yeah.
Furthermore, Jesus said, I am the way,
Amen.
The truth,
Amen.
And the life. He said, me, I am. How conceited is that? What if I said to you, Joe Rakowski is the only way? What if I said to you, that's my name, by the way. So you're going to get mad at me later. Some of you that are Polish in here will get that later. What if I said to you, the only way for you to get saved is by what I tell you, Joe Overcott? You would say, what is wrong with this dude?
Yeah.
You'd say, he's finally lost it. I knew he was nuts. Right? That's what you would say, right? Well, Jesus said that.
Mm-hmm.
You ever think about that? A dead Jew on a tree will save your soul. Think about that. How insane is that? You know what that does? That causes you to abandon all logic, all reason, all rhyme and reason. You know what you need to do? Forget what you think. Forget what you've been taught. And listen to what I'm going to tell you for the next 10 to 15 minutes. Because it just might change your eternal destiny. How important is that tonight? Think about that. A lot of you are thinking about what you're going to do tonight. I don't even know what's on TV tonight. But many of you are already on your phones watching it right now. I'm just being honest with you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm saying we live in a world right now that a man pouring his guts out behind a pulpit about a dead Jew dying for your soul, they're like, yeah, what time's a football game on? I got to get out of here. That's the age we live in. What do I have to do? What do I have to do? You know what? The truth is I can't do anything but do my job and tell you what the Bible says. Because it's not by bells and whistles or YouTube or whatever the other stuff is, tweeting like Donald Trump does every other week. It's not about that stuff. It's about good old-fashioned pen and paper. It's about that King James Bible.
Amen.
Because in that book, it tells you where you're going when you die. Forever.
Amen.
It gets you out of hell, keeps you out of sin. Why wouldn't you take what it says to heart?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
You ought to try it. And you can put an application on your phone if you really want to. You could, right? Better to be in the book. Amen. Romans chapter 5, a couple verses here. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. If you don't have a Bible, just follow along, please, and maybe you'll get something. The Bible says, therefore, Romans 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in this chapter of Romans right here, we're going to see in a moment, somebody's got peace. Do you have peace tonight?
Amen.
Do you have peace with God? You know, one of the greatest things about my own salvation, I'll speak for myself and anyone else that's saved in here, is that at the end of the night, when I go home, I sleep like a baby.
Amen.
My wife is kicking me. Stop snoring. Roll over. I'm out. I'm done. I got a clear conscience.
Amen.
Why? Because I answered a call to salvation.
Amen.
I know where I'm going. I'm not worried about how messed up I am tonight. As far as if I mess up in this message, I'm not worried about some of the looks I'm getting from y'all. And I'll tell you, I wish I had a mirror. You think I look funny? You should see what some of you guys look like. Amen. We're all just a mess.
That's right. Amen.
But in this Bible right here, it says somebody has peace. Do you have peace tonight?
Amen.
I do.
Yes, sir.
This time of the year in the holidays, people don't have peace.
That's right.
They hit the bottle, jingle bells, and you know Elvis, and they go out and do the Blue Christmas all night and go buy. They go rack up their credit cards, thousands of dollars. They'd sell their soul to the devil to buy their kid another present. Because they think that makes them happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Santa Claus makes them happy.
Yeah.
And you know what happens January 2nd? They get the credit card in the mail. And they say, oh, my Lord, what did I do? And then they drink some more. And start all over again.
Yeah.
I've been there. I know it's true.
Yeah.
You know it's true, too. There's no peace in that.
Amen.
The Bible says there's no peace to the wicked. That's wickedness.
Yep.
Think about that. You're going to go out and spend all your rent money and everything else just to please your kids at Christmas times? And the spoiled little brats are going to rip it up and throw it down and break it in a half a week anyway?
Yeah. Come on.
I got three kids. I know what happens. I've been around a little while, and I'm not trying to hurt nobody. I'm just being real. I'm being honest with you. It's the truth, ain't it?
Yeah.
Amen. But that's not all. Look again at Romans chapter 5 and down in verse 10. For if we... When we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son. I'll stop right there for a second. Look at that. Now, in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, you got someone that has peace, right? And then in Romans chapter 5, verse 10, you got someone that has what? No peace. You got someone that's an enemy of God. Could you imagine that? That's worse than hearing you got terminal cancer, stage 4, from your doctor. You imagine someday... If you were to die and stand before God, and all of a sudden you thought that you and God were cool, you and Jesus were doing your own thing, you thought you were all right, and then you stand before the holiest creature that ever was created, Jesus Christ. He was born of God. He was God himself. and you look in his eyes, and you can't look in his eyes. You ever think about it? He created the sun.
Yeah.
Can you look at the sun? I said, sure I can. No, you can't. Go outside and look at the sun next time on the hottest, brightest day. See how long you can look at that sun. How long you think it'll be? 10 seconds, 30 seconds, a minute? You'll burn your eyes out of your head, won't you? I think some crazy philosopher tried that way back when, didn't they? Mm-hmm. He did.
Yep.
That's insanity. You realize that you're hearing about me preached about a man that was born, a God that created the universe, a God that created that sun, that power, that we're feeling the rays from that sun so many years. It's already been burnt years ago. Probably, I don't know how many years they say, but a long time ago. We're just now feeling that heat. That's the power.
Yeah.
And you think you're going to justify yourself before the being like that? You must be crazy. You must be crazy. We're going to get into that judgment in just a couple minutes, but that's not it. You know, in Romans chapter 5, the term free gift shows up three times in Romans chapter 5. Free gift. Free gift. Free gift. You know, God repeats things a lot. Do you know that? You know why? Because we're dummies. When I'm at work, the guys probably laugh at me. They repeat stuff all the time. I can't hear out of this here. I'm Polish, and I got 10 things on my mind. I forget stuff all the time. God don't forget a thing.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
God don't forget nothing.
Amen.
You realize God's keeping a record of your life tonight?
Amen.
He's got your thoughts about me right now. He's got your thoughts about him right now. It's in a book. It's on paper, and it's in heaven, and it's waiting for you to get there. And when you get there, you got to give an account of yourself.
Amen.
That's scary, folks.
Amen.
I'm scared. I'm saved. I don't have to give an account of myself. My sins have been blood washed. They've been bought at Calvary.
Yeah.
And tonight, your sins can be bought, too.
Yep.
Matter of fact, they've already been paid for.
Amen.
All you got to do is go pick up the check.
Yeah.
How about it? I heard a story about Donald Trump one time. He's on the side of the road in his limo or whatever they were driving him around in broke down, had a tire that fell off or something goofy. And this guy pulled up to him, didn't even know who he was. He changed the tire because he saw this dude in a suit, Donald Trump. And Donald says, oh, man, I really appreciate that. Thanks a lot. Yeah, all right, see you later, buddy. Donald Trump found out where the guy lived and paid off his house. So don't forget to change your tire. What if I was to say to you tonight that my boss Phil is going to pay your house off because I can't afford it, but he might? You know what you'd do? You'd go run to him, and you'd say, Phil, I live at, and you'd go tell him, wouldn't you? What about your soul? What if I could tell you that I got someone that can save your soul tonight from an eternal hell, from the punishment of flames, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched? It's forever. Because when you sin against God, you sin against someone that lives forever, so you're going to have to pay for it forever. And if you don't take that, you're crazy.
Yep.
No one in their right mind would reject that. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. So let's take a look here. Romans chapter 5, verse 10, I said about enemies. And let me say this. You know there's only two types of people in the world, only two. That's not true. There's men and women, and there's black and white and green. And I'm going to say this. Spiritually, there's only two. You're either saved or you're lost.
That's, right.
That's it. You're either a saved daddy in here tonight or you're a lost daddy in here tonight.
Amen.
You're either a saved son in here or you're a lost son. You're either a saved mom sitting in here or you're a lost mommy sitting in here tonight.
Amen.
There are two types of people in this world, only two, those that are saved and those that are lost. Mm-hmm. That's what God is concerned about. He's not concerned about your bank account. God's not concerned about your feelings towards your neighbor. God's concerning about his son. That's what it is. Did you receive his son, the greatest gift ever given, the greatest story ever told?
Amen.
Did you receive him tonight? Or rather, will you receive him tonight? I hope so. I hope so. It's a good deal.
Yeah.
Amen. And that's not all. Gift shows up. Look at Romans 5:15. It says, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. The free gift. It says, for if though the offense of one, many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man. And that's what I was trying to get to there, one man. The free gift is only by one man. It's through Jesus Christ. Look what the Bible says in Romans 5:16. It says, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So you know what that free gift of salvation does? It justifies you before God. You know what that means? The Bible says that Jesus Christ is like your lawyer. You know what he is? He's an advocate with a father. You know what that means? That means he's like, when you get in trouble, who do you call if you're in really, really bad trouble? You call the lawyer. That's who you call, because this is going to cost me money or I'm going to end up in jail. And you don't think about calling your mom or the preacher. You call the lawyer first. And then you ask your mom, and then you ask the preacher and call him, wake him up, and ask him to pray for you. That's what happens. The Bible says Jesus Christ could be your lawyer. You know what that means? At the great white throne judgment, when your number's called, and you go to stand before God, and all of a sudden God brings up your whole entire life. Think about that judgment. That's in Revelation chapter 20. For the sake of time, I won't turn there, but let me say this. There's no clocks in heaven. Not a single clock. There might be a clock. There's no numbers on it.
Yeah.
From my junior church class, I draw a clock, and I put the hands on there, and I take the numbers off. And they're like, what is that, a pizza? I said, no. I said, that's a clock. In heaven, there's no time. I'm not worried about the time right now. Some of you, I see you looking at the clock. Your favorite show's coming on, or Annie M's going to call you from California at 9:30. I understand how life goes. But in heaven, there's no time. God's in control of that. And not only that, when you die and step off into eternity, that last day of that judgment, you know what happens? You're standing there. And by the way, the Bible says that heaven and earth fled away before the face of him that sat on the throne. His name is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You know what that means? You know what it says, I think, in Colossians? It says, all things consist by him. This person I'm talking about, Jesus Christ, God, he holds the molecules together. You ever think about that? All of a sudden, he could just say, oh, I'm taking a break today. And what happens when you split a molecule? What happens? It blows up, don't it? The atom bomb. Isn't that what happens?
Mm-hmm.
It does. God never takes a break. There is no time.
That's right.
And when you get to heaven and your sins come before God, he's going to take all the time he needs to show you every single sin you've ever committed in your entire life. Everything. I got a verse that just popped in my mind. It says this. It says, in that day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Christ Jesus.
Amen.
You know what that means? That your secrets will be judged.
Amen.
Your secret thoughts. Come on, teens. You know the thoughts when you're by yourself in your room or by yourself with your phone. If I were to take every phone in here right now, unlock it, and go through every message and everything that was in there, I'd probably blush, wouldn't I? How much more God's going to see in your life.
That's right. Amen.
You can't go incognito tab on your phone with God. Amen. You say, how do you know about that? I'm pretty smart, Pollock, sometimes. How many know what that incognito tab is? Raise your hands if you know what that is. Thank you. You know what that means? That means on my cell phone, I can hit incognito. Phil, you know what that is, probably. And I can hide everything that I do from anyone that has that phone. Well, guess what? You're not going to hide it from God. You know what my boss would do? He'd pull up the phone records and look at what I'm looking at. And he'd say, Joe, what in the world are you doing? And if he can do that because my life is open, I don't look at that garbage. But you might look at it. And I did when I was lost. And God knows what you look at. And I'm saying this, you have no hope without Jesus Christ.
Yep.
You have absolutely, there is no way you're getting past the judgment of God tonight if you were to die. It's not going to happen. Snowball's chance in what? That's where a lost person goes.
Yep.
Straight to hell, the Bible says. I don't want you to go there. If I could force you, if I could grab you in a headlock, and I could force you to get saved, I could probably force some of you to pray a prayer. A lot of you have done that, but it's meaningless.
Yep.
Just praying a prayer doesn't get you saved.
That's right.
You know that? The Bible says it's with the heart.
Yep.
Man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation.
Yep.
That's what the Bible says.
Yep.
Now look, I'm about done, but you're going to have an opportunity in here to receive Christ tonight.
Amen.
How plain can I be?
Amen.
Can I be any plainer tonight? If you were to stand up right now and have to make a choice, if you had 30 seconds to live before your heart stopped, and it happens, and we know that as a church, it could happen to any one of us tonight, where would you go? And so I'm not sure. You can be sure tonight.
Amen.
Amen.
Yep.
And so, well, I think, people think all kinds of things,
wow.
But do you know? Do you know it? Did you know that you know? Tonight's your night. You came to this play, maybe you were invited by some people, and you're like, man, I got ambushed. Well, kind of, sort of. But we love you. Amen. We want to see you saved. Amen. Because some of you in here are right on that edge, and I know it, because that Bible says it. There's someone in here tonight that's right on that edge that maybe I'm ready to get saved. Let me encourage you tonight. Today is the day of salvation. Amen. There's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. They finished the verse. No other name. It's not Joe Rakowski. It's not Alan Ryman. It's not Jesse Kregel. It's Jesus Christ. It's the name above all names. Amen. He's the King above all kings. And the Bible says he's coming back. God help you if you get caught on the wrong side of the fence. I don't have to worry about that. Are you worried tonight? Are you concerned? Maybe you just have a question. In a few moments, I'm going to ask everybody to stand and bow their heads and think about the message that you've heard tonight, the Bible that you've heard tonight. And I wanted you to question yourself in your own hearts, and I want you to ask this question. If I were to die tonight, where would I go? Let us all stand. Let's all bow our heads for a word of prayer, just for a few moments. We're almost done, I promise. With every head bowed and eyes closed, I want you to survey the cross tonight. I want you to think about it. If I were to die tonight, where would I go? That could be a horrible thought tonight. Man, that could be heartbreaking. Loved ones, children, grandparents, dying and going to hell. Because they refused to trust Jesus Christ. You know what? You have an opportunity right now, as everyone's heads are bowed and eyes are closed and Christians are praying for you. If you're not sure that you're saved tonight, why don't you step out by faith? Why don't you take a step from your seat and come up front and have somebody meet you? Why don't you do it? You know what they always say? The first step is the hardest step. And it's true. You know, if you take that first step, God will meet you. That stress and that pressure you're feeling, that anxiety that's in your heart right now, it'll vanish. And then you too can have peace with God, the one that created you. How about it tonight? You say, I just can't do it. I can't make that step. I just can't. Well, can you raise your hand? Every head bowed and eyes closed, no one looking around, please, for just a moment. If you're not sure that you're saved, can you just slip your hand up so that we can pray for you? Is there anyone here like that? Anyone here, just by showing of hand, I'm not sure if I'm saved tonight. As far as I could tell, there's no hands. There's no hands. That either means everyone here is saved, or you're just not ready, or you're just not sure, or you're scared. I want to encourage you tonight. You can get saved. You know, it's easy to get saved in an atmosphere like that. See that hand? Thank you. You know, it's easy to get saved in an atmosphere like this. When you go back to work tomorrow, when you get the world going again, you stop thinking about eternal things. You know, right now is that time. Amen. For those of you that couldn't raise your hand, there's some tracks back there in the track rack as you guys leave. Why don't you just take a track? Why don't you just think about these things that were talked about and let's play tonight? Because Faith Baptist Church, they love you. They care about you. I care about you. I want to see you saved. Amen. That's what this whole thing is all about. Getting saved. Amen. Amen. All right, let's sing a song, Jesse. What do you want to sing?